join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Big Vision, Big Provision by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Some people say Habakkuk, the second chapter, starting at verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 3. And when we get down to verse 3, I want us to read that together. Habakkuk, the first chapter, second chapter, starting at verse 1. Go ahead and put that on the screen, media. Let's read together. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me. Wait, let's stop right there. And the Lord, he said, God gonna tell me something about this situation. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm going through this. But I'm going to go to God and God going to give me an answer. God's not going to keep me in the dark about what's going on. God's going to give me strategy. He's going to give me hope. He's not going to leave me in trouble. He's not going to leave me in hell. I need a word from the Lord. And just one word from the Lord can keep me going. That's what Habakkuk's saying here. So verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. And make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Come on, read verse 3 with me. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Come on, give God a praise for that. That the vision will be manifested. That God's given the vision for this church. God give the vision, you a vision for your family. God give you a vision for your future. God give you a vision for your finances. Come on. It will not tarry. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're continuing to talk from the subject manifesting big vision. God gives vision, but vision got to be fulfilled and manifested through our faith and our actions. And so we started giving you a step-by-step process of ingredients for how God will manifest big vision in your life. And the reason why we're emphasizing big vision, because see, sometimes it's easy to believe for what you think is a little vision, but can I tell you, any vision God gives is going to be a big vision. God doesn't give any vision that you can do without him. If you can do it without him, that's just something you came up with your own mind. If it requires God, then that is God. Amen? Because God doesn't leave him out of his promises. God doesn't leave himself out of his plans. God doesn't leave himself out of your future. Whatever God told you he's going to do with you, for you, through you, in you, then God says you're going to require me to get that fulfilled. which means in order to keep me involved, you're going to have to operate in faith. If you're going to keep me involved, you're going to have to believe beyond what you see. If you're going to keep me involved, you got to believe that I am a supernatural, that I am a God, and I'm not a man that I should lie, neither the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I'm going to perform it. If I spoke it, I'll make it good. God said, now watch me, watch me, watch me. And that's why Habakkuk said, I'm going to stand and watch and listen and hear what Jesus would say to me, what the Lord would say to me. And so number one, we said, when God gives you vision, you got to believe it, which is even as you saw, that's the excerpt from that message in preparation about Direction for Life conference, which is going to be happening in November. I said, you got to believe it and say, it will happen. Say, it will happen. When you believe it, says, yes, it will happen. It will happen. God will do that thing. God will do that thing. I believe it. I believe it. It will happen. And then the second thing we said is that you got to conceive it. Conceive it means now I don't just believe that will happen just somewhere, sometime for somebody. But now when I conceive it, now I say it will happen for me. Somebody say it will happen for me. Okay, you don't, somebody else can have a baby. But if you're going to have a baby, you got to conceive a baby. Are you following me? So when you conceive, you say, it's not just happen, it'll happen for me. Come on, say, it'll happen for me. Now, come on. And that really can be a challenging thing because, you know, it's not a problem believing that they're millionaires. It's not a hard problem believing that people can come from rag to riches. It's not a problem believing that people can get healed. But now it's going to require another level of faith for you to say, no, I can go from rag to riches. I can be a millionaire. I can be healed. Come on. I can be debt free. So look at somebody say it'll happen for me. And then thirdly, we said that you have to, we went to last week, we started saying that you have to speak it. You have to speak it with your mouth, because speaking it with your mouth seals what you believe in your heart. Okay, that's how you got saved. You believe with your heart, but you had to confess it with your mouth. That's how you got saved, because Romans 10 and 10 and 11 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, will not be embarrassed. So you got to believe it, conceive it, and you have to start speaking it. Everybody say, speak it. And then we said there's six things that you can do as you through speaking the word based upon Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 9 and 10. We said, number one, you can root out things that have been planted by the devil in your mind, in your family. You can pull down strongholds. Every stronghold that the enemy has set up as a high place in your life, you can pull it down. The devil say you can't reach it, you can't have it. You got to pull down those strongholds, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Third, we say with God's word in your mouth, you can destroy things. Every obstacle, barrier, and hindrance is one thing for something to be removed. It's another thing for it to be destroyed. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Because, see, when something is destroyed, you can't put it back together again. If it's just broken, if it's just removed, it can go and regroup. But when something is destroyed, it's rooted out once and for all. Are you hearing me? Then we said, number four, with your mouth, you got to throw down. Somebody say, throw down. That means you got to get violent about this thing. You got to get violent in the realm of the spirit. Get violent the way you mamas get when somebody mess with your baby. Now, you can be fine. Some of y'all will say, now, you can mess with me. I'll take it, but you ain't going to mess with my child. Lord Jesus, don't mess with you. Will go beat up a principal. Don't care nothing about rank. Just don't mess with my child. What happens? You ready to throw down, and which means to exert force. And Matthew 11 and 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by what? Sometimes you got to put some force behind that thing. Sometimes the reason why you don't have it, you haven't achieved it, because you haven't put enough force, enough exertion to it yet. And then number five, we said you can build. God says in Isaiah 58 and 12 that we shall build the old way places. Something got to be built. And then number six, you got to plant. That means start something new. Hey, man, look at somebody and say, God can start something new with me. Come on, do you hear me say that's a common theme that I'm always repeating in this church, because I watched God do that with my life. God can start something new with you. I don't care what kind of family you came from. I don't care how broke you are. I don't care how backward y'all were. I don't care how limited you were. I don't care what side of the tracks you came from, what little down by town you came from, or how rough or deep in the inner city you were. God can start something new with you. Hallelujah. This can be a new beginning for you today. I said, this can be a new beginning for you today. Say it with me. Say, God, start something new with me. That means you can plant. The Bible says you'll be called seeds of righteousness for you and your children. And then I want to just add this to that before I go a little further today. Joshua 1 and 8. I want to include this in this discourse of talking about manifesting big vision for your life, for your business, for your family. Joshua 1 and 8. Now, you got to understand, the reason why this scripture changed my life, because, see, I came along at a time, I mean, right across the water. I mean, not here, across the water over past the Marshall's town. We didn't do that in my town. But they had the Newark riot. Newark is 5 minutes away from my hometown. But we didn't tear up our city. But Pastor Marshall's town, Newark, they had the Newark riots. And it's still recovering from it today down in Lower Newark and Springfield Avenue and all that. In Jersey City, we knew we got to shop here. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, over Newark, they had the Newark riots. And that's what I grew up, okay? Over there, Newark riots. I grew up in the time of the Black Panthers was right down on my corner. And my brother-in-law was a Black Panther until the police started beating him up. And he said, I ain't no Black Panther. He took that beret right off quick. Okay, the Black Panthers right across the water from me in New York, where I was from Jersey City, was Malcolm X, you know, teaching people at that time, the early days, about, you know, we gonna get our freedom by any means necessary. Okay, I remember as a little child, I was about 7 years old, I went to hear Dr. King speak at Metropolitan AME Church in Jersey City, New Jersey. And so, you know, all that turbulence, between the Civil Rights Movement and the Black Panther Movement and the Black Power Movement and the Student for Nonviolent Youth and all that, we felt we were oppressed, and for the most part, we were blaming other people for our state. And there is a responsibility that government has. That people should not oppress one another and dominate one another. But you can't sit around waiting for somebody to decide not to oppress you. No, I'm just telling all the truth. You can't decide, you know, and what really encouraged me about that, you know, it's not Black History Month, but when we look, all the people we recognize during African American History Month are people who defied odds. That's why we celebrate them. Who in a time of segregation still became millionaires. Madam C.J. Walker, you hearing me? Okay, during the time of great oppression, when they weren't allowed to read, found out how to read. When nobody was voluntarily educating them. Are you all listening to me? These are people who against the odds, defied odds. Okay? And so I came across this scripture, and it made me stop blaming people and looking at other people and realize I got to go for myself. Joshua 1 and 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou, that this is God talking to an individual. Thou, you shall meditate therein. Meditate on this word. Day and night. That means night and day. And that means day and night, night and day. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So, see, the reason why I give y'all so many scriptures, and I know I give y'all more scriptures than, you know, and sometimes when I go to study, I'm just going to read this one scripture and get these 3 points like a nice traditional preacher and say, yeah, and close my message. And then we go on home, and then we say, then we have a good time today. Oh, long and. Wanting to do that, and I can't do it. But when I get to study, God said, no, show him that scripture, show him where I said that, confirm it through that, confirm, no, and weave that one in there, because I don't want you because when the devil come after you, you ain't gonna hear me going, You can't look at the devil and say, devil, you better leave me alone, pastor said, devil gonna look right at the back and say, ah, right back at you. Jesus rebuked the devil with the word. Jesus kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And when the devil tried to twist scripture and he tried to manipulate scripture, Jesus said, no, you're misquoting that. It is written. And Paul said, when I came, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it came with you in demonstration of power and of the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Are y'all listening to me here? And so the word says here that I can't do what I don't know. So it said, I got to meditate and observe to do what's written in it. I can't do it if I don't know it. I'm convinced people would do better if they knew better. Most people don't know better. But once you know better, you can do better. Are you hearing me? And so he said, you can observe to do all that's written therein. Then in that time, it was on the tablets and it was on scrolls. But now we got these 66 books of God's principles and God's promises. He said, observe, read it, not for the sake of trying to get brownie points. It's talking about how many scriptures I read today. You know, can I tell y'all, you know, I know everybody should read the Bible all the time and all that kind of stuff. And they got all kind of programs how you can read the, how you can read through the Bible in a year. Any of y'all ever try to do that? Y'all even try. Lord Jesus, I thought you at least would try. About three of y'all tried. Okay, they have all kind of programs that say I can read through the Bible in a year. In order to do that, they'll tell you got to read these five chapters today, these ten chapters here, in order to get through it. Can I tell you, see, if your goal is just to get through it, rather than get it through you, you're defeating the purpose. See, so it's not just about you reading the word, it's about you understanding the word so you can do the word. You can read and not understand. And so he said, your purpose of reading the word is to observe to do it, which means sometime I might get stuck in one scripture for a month. See, I can't move on. No. I keep, there's something more in this that God's trying to show me. And every time I go to read the word, he keep bringing me right back to this one scripture because he's trying to teach me something. He's trying to put something in me. He's trying to uproot something out of me. He's trying to give me revelation. He's trying to give me something to stand on that nobody going to be able to take away. I know I ought to be studying the other stuff, but I keep reading this scripture that says that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I try to move on to this, but I keep getting back. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and I keep getting attacked, but I keep hearing the word say my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and I lose a job and he'll take me right back to my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and the doctors tell me that nothing they can do about the situation, but it takes me back to this one scripture that keeps saying my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and I go through this, I go through finance, I go through my family, and nothing I can do, but I keep hearing the word say my strength is made perfect. Come on, any y'all ever have God just keep repeating that one scripture over and over, and that scripture take you through financial issues and take you through marriage issues, take you through car issues. What that got to do with that? God keeps telling me that he's stronger than my weakness. Hallelujah. So I meditate on day and night that I can do. But here's the part that really blessed me. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Oh, I don't have to wait for the white man to decide to like me. I don't have to wait for the president to tell me I can stay and not leave and go back to where I never came from. I'll continue to make my way prosperous. You don't have to like me being here and I'll still prosper. To like my skin color, but I'll still prosper. You don't have to think I say I deserve to be in this neighborhood, and I'll still prosper. You don't think I don't deserve to drive a car like this, and I'll still prosper. Because my needs are not met based upon what you think. My needs are supplied according to his riches in glory. And the favor of God will bless me beyond my enemies. The favor of God will promote me beyond those who try to hold me back. And the favor of God will put me over when other folks try to hold me down. I got what it takes. I got the word. Stops. I can make my way prosperous. I can make my own way prosperous. I can make my own way prosperous. I ain't gonna help you. I'll make my own way prosperous. But you're black and you're ugly, but I'll still make my own way prosperous. And you're woman, but I'll still make my way prosperous. And you're too short, and I'll still make my way prosperous. And you're too fat, but I'll still make my... Look at somebody say, you can't hold me back. That scripture changed my life. That scripture changed my life. That scripture changed my life. To come and find me, I'll make my own way prosper. But we ain't gonna give you a check no more. I'll make my own way prosper. I won't give you a reference. I'll make my own way prosper. You don't have your education. I'll make my own way prosper. Look at somebody say, make your own way prosperous. Make your way prosperous. Stop blaming men. Stop blaming women. Stop blaming the white man. Stop blaming the brown man. Stop blaming the Asian. Stop blaming this one. Stop blaming. Make your way prosperous. So I can meditate on his word. I can make my way prosperous. And I can have good success. Everybody say good success. So if there's good success, that means that there's automatically bad success. See, the Bible talks about those who prosper in this world. The Bible talks about those who are wicked who prosper. So you can have success but not have good success. Good success is when you don't have to lie on your tax return. Good success is when you can sleep without having a gun under your pillow. Good success is when you can have stuff and don't have to hide it. Are y'all hearing me? See, a lot of people, they got success, but they don't have good success. Because if it's good success, then the blessing of the Lord make it rich. Add up no sorrow with it. Come on, if God gave it to you, I was meditating on this yesterday. He gave us all things to enjoy. My daughter said, Dad, don't talk about how many cars you have. But I'm going to say it anyway. She won't tell me what to preach anyway. So I got 6 vehicles. Not to mention my motorcycle and my boat. Okay? And so there's some days I go out and I just deliberately pick a car or what I have not driven in a while. Because ain't no sense me having it if I don't enjoy it. He don't give you all things to show off or just to list your assets. He give you stuff to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, sow it to somebody. Give it away to somebody. He don't want you just around gloating, talking about the stuff I have. He gave us things to enjoy. Oh, let me just stop right there because I feel some people just had a problem right there. I got to deal with that poverty mentality. Amen. Okay, why do you sleep with a pillow? Just because it makes sleep more comfortable, that's all. You don't need a pillow, you need sleep. Ask these people sleeping right up here right now. They don't have a pillow, they just need some sleep. And I'll sleep without a pillow. The only thing about a pillow just makes sleep more comfortable. Amen. Make sleep more comfortable. I had my grandchildren out with me yesterday, and they wanted to run around here, and I had some things in mind, but they were good. They just went with me to every store, and I went to this one store. I went to Home Goods, and Pastor Marcel and I said we just like getting a little trimming, decorating the house, and we look for stuff. And so I went in there, and so I said my grandson said, want anything? And they had a toy section. My grandson went in there, and I don't know what are those things he's like. He just played with all the time. Blues Blaze, Bake Blitz. Oh, you play with them too? Really? What they call it again? Bay Blaze. Okay. They look like when I was a kid, we had Tops. Okay? We had a chill max. And so I couldn't remember the name. And my granddaughter says, what you used to call Tops. Had you put a string around, we used to throw it down and spin. And so my grandson said, well, if you do it on the ground, it'll reduce how long it spins. Anyway, so we were out, and so I said, did you want anything particularly? She said, yeah, I want some. She said, we can go to Rooms to Go and get some nice bedding. I said, bedding? She wanted some new bedding. And so I said, well, let's go back to the Home Goods. They had some stuff there. I said, what you got in mind? And I went and showed her this violet thing here, the purple thing here. She said, no. I said, what you got in mind? She said, a unicorn. I said, okay. So we went, and I saw something. It was a nice little girl, a bedding set. And I said, what kind of unicorn? She said, no, I want something real fancy. Look, your neighbor, say, you want what you want. Oh, come on now. And I told my grandchildren that they ended up riding home getting nothing because nothing that they saw they wanted. I said, y'all kids don't realize how blessed you are. The fact that you can pick, choose, and refuse. Man, when we went out with our mom, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. You took whatever toy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I told my grandchildren, I said, you are some blessed children. We found the unicorn, but she wanted something. She said, I want it to be like gold on it. And she wanted something. She said, I want it to be fancy. Look at your neighbor and say, I like fancy stuff. Oh, come on. Can I tell you, God knows if you like fancy stuff.
If God has given you big vision for anything in your life, He already knows He'll provide. With big vision comes big provision. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages that you'll have what you need when you need it. Order this message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for Big Vision, Big Provision.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.